As I was growing up, I remember a TV commercial with the actress Sally Struthers holding a child in her arms. The child was wearing tattered, torn clothing. They would be walking down a dirt street or path through a village in a far-off country. The street is lined with shacks made out of whatever was available to the local people to build a shelter. She would say that for the cost of one cup of coffee each day, you could feed and clothe a child like this. I still see commercials similar to that on the air today. And with the current cost of a cup of Starbucks coffee, I think you could feed and clothe several children. The United States is the most powerful country on earth. It has a huge military force. It has some of the most advanced military technology. Imagine what the world would be like if the attitude of the United States could be changed. If you go to the website costofwar.com, you'll see this ever-increasing number that they claim is the current cost of the war in Iraq. The number is one of those numbers that you have to stop and think about before you can say it. Let's see, the first comma is thousands, the next is millions, and then we have billions. The number is currently 441,360,020, well, it keeps increasing, 40,000 and hundreds. Imagine what could be done if instead of spending this money on war, it was used for humanitarian relief around the world. And also imagine that instead of providing this aid to countries or governments, that you provided it directly to the people who need it, regardless of the politics of their country's government. Now, as the old proverb says, give a man a fish and he eats for a day, teach a man to fish and he eats for the rest of his life. I don't feel it is the responsibility of the U.S. to feed and clothe the world, but rather to give them the means to take care of themselves. I don't think we need to provide the rest of the world with a similar lifestyle as what we have. However, I do feel that people in the world should be entitled to basic food, clothing, shelter, and medical aid. Politics should not be a part of the decision about providing relief. Now imagine how the attitude of the people around the world would change if we send in people to help those suffering and teaching them to be self-sufficient. If all the money spent on wars were spent on humanitarian relief, the world would be a lot better off. As an example, through the organization Oxfam, for $441 billion, $442 billion. Let's see. Okay, for $441 billion, let's see here. For that amount of money, you could buy 5.9 billion cows to help out around the world. or $9.8 billion sheep, or $735 billion trees could be planted around the world to help farmers grow crops and plants and fruit and everything else to help themselves. Christian Children's Fund states, for just $24 a month, you can give one child a chance to escape poverty by providing things like education, health care, and nutritious food. That comes to $1.8 billion months. Or let's see, 1,535,250,000 years. Or you could feed about 80 million people, no, 19 billion people. Let's see. Once again, I have to check those 19 million people for their entire life. Now, I don't believe that we should just throw money out to the world, but I think there are a lot better things that could be done with this money than killing people and giving the United States a reputation as a bully. My son Alex was recently in Germany with his grandparents, where several times people told them, "We like American people, we just don't like your government and its war." A recent story on the TV show 60 Minutes tells of a group of 13 young paramedics who traveled to New York City to earthquake-ravaged Pakistan to help the people out there. They went to an area that is considered Osama bin Laden country. It's dotted with training camps for jihadists, where Islam is at its most radical and America is seen as the enemy. Dr. Steve Muth, who is part of this group, is quoted as saying, "We can inoculate an entire valley, if we're lucky, against radical Islam. And it's so simple. I'm just a paramedic. It's just a bandage. It's not a $100 million ad campaign from Madison Avenue. It's not, you know, it's not complicated. Could something work better to change somebody's mind? I can't think of anything." Imagine how the world could be changed by this kind of action. Now, there are some that say that wars are good for business, because big businesses profit from providing for the military, and that is part of the reason we have war. One big business that is close to home is the Boeing Company. They provide military aircraft for the U.S. as well as other countries. Now imagine if their resources were used to build transport planes to get relief to all parts of the world. If instead of building military helicopters, we built medical helicopters to transport supplies to remote parts of the world and to transport victims to medical facilities. Imagine, instead of providing meals ready to eat, also known as MREs, to our military, we provided this kind of food to the starving people in remote parts of the world. Businesses would still be making money. The difference is what they're making money from. Imagine, instead of using technology to find more efficient ways of killing people, we use it to provide more efficient ways of saving people. Big businesses could still make money. We currently have over 133,000 troops deployed in the Gulf region. Compare that number to the number of people to volunteer in the Peace Corps. The Peace Corps' website states that since 1961, the Peace Corps has shared with the world America's most precious resource, its people. Peace Corps volunteers serve in 73 countries in Africa, Asia, the Caribbean, South and Central America, Europe, and the Middle East. Collaborating with local community members, volunteers work in areas like education, youth outreach and community development, the environment, and information technology. Since 1961, more than 187,000 Peace Corps volunteers have served in over 139 countries. 187,000 people during the entire history of the Peace Corps, compared to 133,000 troops in Iraq right now. Have you noticed how the men and women currently serving are referred to as troops? They are seldom referred to as men or women, sons or daughters, mothers or fathers, grandfathers or grandmothers, or even just people. The number of troops we've lost so far in the war is over 3,580. Imagine, instead, we use the military's ability to get troops and weapons to almost any part of the world in a short period of time. We use that to get humanitarian aid and supplies to parts of the world affected by catastrophic events, such as tidal waves or earthquakes. Not only would we save people suffering from the world, around the world, we would also save our family members from being killed in war. How would the world view the United States if this could be accomplished? Our president had a lot of problems finding allies in the war in Iraq and is losing them as we speak. I don't think we would have that problem in the war against suffering. Maybe we wouldn't even have to fight a war. If someone attacked us, the rest of the world would probably rise up and fight with us. And imagine if those countries all worked together to fight hunger and poverty. Imagine that instead of an attitude that military strength provides peace, and that we have to have a strong military to ensure that we are safe, we look at providing relief to the suffering, and in doing that we gain peace by changing the attitude of the world toward our country. Now, I'm not talking today in protest to the war in Iraq. I don't have an exit strategy for that. What I am talking about is changing the current strategies about how to achieve peace and safety for the U.S. If we look at helping the world as a strategy towards safety and security for the United States, maybe we would have a better chance of changing the attitude of our leaders. A quote from the movie Spider-Man has Peter Parker's Uncle Ben saying, "With great power comes great responsibility." Imagine using our power to help instead of hurt, to heal instead of wound, to save instead of kill. As a great power, the U.S. has a responsibility to use its many resources wisely and has the responsibility to make a significant contribution towards the improvement of the conditions of the world community. Now, one last point I want to make is, I don't think that we should just stop the wars. I think that we should actively and aggressively pursue peace by making contributions to help the world community. Maybe we could even create a U.S. Department of Peace. After you leave here today, I want you to spend a little time imagining. Imagine how the world could be changed by sending people to parts of the world that are in need of emergency assistance. Imagine what the world would be like if the attitude of the United States could be changed. Imagine what could be done if instead of spending this money on war, it was used for humanitarian relief around the world. Imagine not providing this aid to countries or governments, but providing it directly to the people who need it, regardless of their country's politics. Imagine if factories used to build military machines were used to build humanitarian machines. Imagine, instead of providing MREs to our military, we provided this kind of food to the starving people in remote parts of the world. Imagine if we used the military's ability to get troops and weapons to almost any part of the world in a very short period of time to get humanitarian aid to parts of the world affected by catastrophic events. Imagine using our power to help instead of hurt, to heal instead of wound, to relieve suffering instead of causing it, to save instead of kill. Imagine a nation that is not passive in its actions, but one that actively strives for peace throughout the world by providing relief to those that are suffering. Imagine a U.S. Department of Peace. By just imagining a world like this, we can start down the road to making it a reality. Our final hymn for today is number 148, Let Freedom Span Both East and West. If there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace in the nations. If there is to be peace in the nations, there must be peace in the cities. If there is to be peace in the cities, there must be peace between neighbors. If there is to be peace between neighbors, there must be peace in the home. If there is to be peace in the home, there must be peace in the heart.